This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
This is Randy Snyder. Before we begin, just this word. This week is the last in a series of standalone messages. It's a message about the word covenant. God has always been in a covenant relationship with His people. That's what we talk about all this week. We begin a brand new sermon series next week on Cross Hope. God bless you and thanks for listening. This may shock you to say this, what I'm going to say, because some of you are going to say this is awful, what you're saying today. But there is a character on the television show Sesame Street that I couldn't care less about. His name's Elmo. And I couldn't care less about Elmo. I'm not interested, never been interested in Elmo. Don't want to see pictures of Elmo. Don't want to watch Elmo. But all of that changed. I love Elmo now. I'm interested in what Elmo does. I'm interested in things at the toy store that are likenesses of Elmo. You say, what in the world happened to you? Did you have a mental breakdown or what happened? No, I haven't. Annie and I have an 18-month-old granddaughter. That's all she talks about. Is Elmo. I think it's the first word she learned to say, was Elmo. And because she loves Elmo, I love Elmo. Why? Because we love her. Because Elmo matters to her, Elmo now matters to me and matters to Annie. Because that's all she talks about when the television's turned on, Elmo, Elmo, Elmo. That's all that matters. When a book is opened, a child's book, Elmo. What matters to her matters to us. You say, where in the world are you going with this? Simply this. When you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul, what matters to Him matters to you. And what maybe before, you couldn't care less about that word or that idea, that concept, but you found out through your walk with the Lord that it matters to Him, so therefore it matters to you. It matters to you. Today we're going to talk about a word that matters very much to the Lord, even though we don't use it a lot in Christian circles. It's the word covenant. We serve a God of the covenant, a God who's always been in a covenant relationship with His people. The word covenant means an agreement or contract between two or more parties. A covenant is a contract or agreement between two or more parties, and covenant is how God has chosen, it's His decision, not mine, to deal with His people. The word testament means covenant, the old covenant and the new covenant. Don't know if you knew that or not, but that's what it means. God had a covenant with the Israelites that was set at Mount Sinai. We talk about that with Moses. And there have been other covenants, the Noahic covenant, where God made a covenant with people, said, I'm going to set a rainbow in the sky. And most people get this wrong. You know what most people say? Well, it's a reminder to us, the rainbow is, that God would never destroy the earth again by flood, the whole earth. That's not what it says. It's a reminder to God. God says when He sees the rainbow, He remembers the covenant. He does, which I find intriguing because all my life I've heard people say, well, you know, when we see the rainbow, we're supposed to think this. No, it's for God's benefit, according to, I think it's Genesis 9. You can look it up later. But we're in a covenant relationship, and today we're going to talk about the covenant relationship. It's a blood covenant relationship that you're in. It's with Jesus Christ, who Hebrews says is the mediator, the broker of a new covenant, and it's established through His blood.
Well, all this week we'll be looking at a passage in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, about the word covenant. Covenant is more important to your life than you may know or I may recognize. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Now then, today, part two on Cross Hope of a message we began yesterday about the word covenant. God is in a covenant relationship with His people. In the Old Testament, He was in covenant with the Israelites. In today's world, He's in covenant with the church, the body of Christ. And Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the broker of the covenant. That's what we talk about all this week. We begin today with the reading of the text from the book of Exodus and also from the book of Hebrews. God bless you as you listen.
Exodus 19, beginning at verse 3. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. What mountain? Mount Sinai. And said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's not just a lyric of beautiful songs. God takes ownership and authorship over that phrase. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Verse 5, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. And then from the New Testament book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In verse 27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, underline the words after that, I'm going to talk about those two words, after that, to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. If you have a mortgage on a house, you're in a covenant relationship. You buy a car on a loan, 48 months, 60 months, doesn't matter. You're in a covenant relationship. If you're married, you're in a covenant relationship. Most couples have no idea that the Bible speaks of their marriage as the covenant before God and the covenant of your youth. And God talks about couples who break covenant with their spouse, and he doesn't take it lightly. We may take it lightly and say, hey, no big deal, 2015. God says it's a big deal to him. It's a covenant relationship in front of a covenant God. Everything about our relationship to the Lord is surrounded around the word covenant. And that's what I want you to go home with today. Let's go back to chapter 19 of Exodus. Bring up verse 3 again. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from Mount Sinai and said, this is what you're to say. I love that. This is what you're to tell the people. Verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. What did he do to Egypt? Remember the plagues? Most people think the plagues were something that God did to the people of Egypt to punish them. It was an attack, an assault, frontal assault on the pagan gods of Egypt. Every plague was an attack on their pagan deities. If you study it, you'll see that. They worship pagan gods of everything, and those plagues were against those pagan deities. What I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings, which is a beautiful metaphor for God's loving care for his people. And the key verse is verse 5. Now if you obey me fully, not partially, but you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. It's a promise. God says, this is my covenant with you. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession. Covenant is a word that we don't use, even in Christian culture, and we should. Communion is a reflection. These are tokens of the covenant. What you just did a few minutes ago, those are tokens of the covenant. Every time you watch a baptism, we did a week or two ago, that's a token reminder of the covenant. We're in a covenant relationship with the living God. Everything about our relationship has to do with covenant. You know, if you have a friend or a relative who lives in a particular subdivision where they have covenant agreements with, you can't build on the property, you can't paint your house a certain way, you may have those covenant relationships. But the thought occurred to me, my brother has a covenant in the subdivision he lives in Columbus, Ohio. I couldn't care less about his covenant. Why? I'm not party to it. I'm not a part of that covenant, but he is. And so it is, there are people who couldn't care less about what God has done for them through Christ because they're not party to the covenant. But once you come to the realization that you are in a covenant relationship, it starts to matter to you. What does it mean that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant? He's the one who established it. He's the one who brokered it, to use that business term. He's the one who started it. And it's all connected to the blood of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. It's a blood covenant. Steve Brown is a Presbyterian minister who speaks on the radio. Some of you know who I'm talking about. You've heard him on the radio. He said something one day that just caused me to stop what I was doing to hear what he was going to say. He said, "May I tell you what the most difficult thing is for me in the ministry?" And I put down my pen, whatever I was doing. I wanted to hear what he had to say. I thought he would say, "Well, the most difficult thing about being in the ministry is having the funeral of someone who committed suicide, because that is a difficult thing. I've had those funerals." I thought, well, he's just going to say, "Well, having the funeral of a young person." I've had many funerals for young people over the 30 years in the ministry. I've had many funerals. But that's not what he said. He said, "The hardest thing for me to deal with in the ministry is to watch people sink back into the darkness." Isn't that interesting? I knew what he meant. People who had come into the light of Christ, the light of God's word, and they're in the light for a while, and then they slowly slip back into the darkness. He said, "That's the hardest thing for me to be involved in as a minister." You ever been around a campfire? As much as I hate camping, I'm going to talk about a campfire. But if you've been around a campfire, as people are standing or sitting near the campfire, you see the reflection of the firelight in their face. But what happens is they back up slowly, but the light becomes dimmer that's reflected off their face. And if you keep backing up long enough around a campfire, any campfire, doesn't matter how big or how small, there comes a point in time, physiologically, where the person backs up, and suddenly they're no longer reflecting the light. They're no longer reflecting the light. They're in the darkness, and the darkness envelops them. That's the analogy that Steve Brown used. The hardest thing about being in the ministry is slipping back into the darkness. Do you know what I call it? Breaking covenant. Breaking covenant with the God who loves you. Breaking covenant with the God who made you. Breaking covenant with the God who gave his life that you might have forgiveness of sins.
Well, you may have never thought about your relationship with the Lord God Almighty being a covenant, but it is. We'll continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
John Worley is an attorney from Hartfield, Virginia. I don't know necessarily where Hartfield is. He said, "When my four children were younger, I relished one ritual above all the others. Hours after their bedtime, and often after mine, I would walk down the carpeted hallway dividing their rooms. I walked barefoot, as soundless as a cat. Silence reinforced the intimacy of the ritual. I would pause briefly at each of the four children's doors. I didn't open them. I just stood there, thinking about the child inside and how, if I opened the door, I'd find a son or daughter asleep in their favorite position, clothes, toys, or books, stuffed animals, or soccer shin guards strewn about the room, depending on whose room it happened to be. It wasn't important for me to actually see the scene. I'd seen it often enough when I told them good night. But you see, there was a time a few years before when I couldn't tell them good night because my wife and I had separated. During the years apart, I stayed at a friend's summer home. I walked the wooden floors then, my footsteps echoing in the hollow hallway. I tried to hang a couple of pictures on the wall of my room, but they didn't belong in that place, and neither did I. Neither did I. During that long, difficult time, my wife and I stayed in touch and sought counseling. When we finally reunited, my nocturnal trips down the carpeted hall resumed. It was only important that I knew that they were in there as safe as they could be in a house, and they were sure to wake there the next morning. No doubt some of the feeling that came over was the link to my role as their guardian. If a fire broke out, I would evacuate them. That was my job. If an intruder broke into the house, I would confront him because that was my job. If a biblical thunderstorm shook the house, those still too young to sleep through it could take refuge in our king-size bed at the end of the hall. I knew that this span of years would be brief. But isn't it interesting what John Morley talked about, the security of knowing as he would walk down the hall and he'd stop by the room and think and pray about each child in there? You know what made that possible? Covenant. Why did he feel like if there's a fire, I'm going to rescue those kids? Covenant. Not just love, but he's in a covenant relationship with his children. Why did he say if an intruder broke into my house, I would confront him? Covenant relationship. And what he was describing in those years that he didn't have that experience was he broke covenant. He broke covenant with his wife. I'm not saying it was his fault. I'm not saying it was her fault. It might have been both of their faults. But they had broken covenant with the person they were in covenant relationship with. What's my point? I think the most serious thing in your life, you want to talk about something that's serious, more serious than cancer? More serious than an accident, more serious than anything you can name, is to break covenant with the God who called you into covenant. Determine, decide today, I will never be a man who breaks covenant with God. I will never be a woman who breaks covenant with the Lord. People may break covenants all around me at work. They may hire lawyers to get me out of a covenant. And we do that as a culture. But determine today, 2015, I'm going to be a man or woman who honors the covenant. I'm not going to break the covenant with my God. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And we're a part of the deal. We're party to that covenant. A.W. Tozier wrote this, "Medicine sitting on the shelf that's never taken never cured anybody. Food left in the refrigerator and never eaten has never nourished anybody. Heat that's not turned on has never warmed anybody. And the Bible itself, though it is nourishment, though it is light, it is warmth, though it's medicine to the soul, yet it never helps anybody where there's not serious attention given to it. And when we do not give serious attention as if Christ has not come into the world to die for mankind, he might as well have not come and died, as for us to neglect all that is meant by his coming and dying and his covenant." But Hebrews says the covenant relationship that you and I have with Jesus Christ, eternal, forever. Forever is a long time. It's funny, I forgot to talk in both first and second services about two words I told you to underline. I'm not going to forget it, third service. It's in verse 27 and 28. "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people." You know what I asked you to underline? The words "after that." Most men in the United States of America have no idea that there is an after that. Most women in this country have no clue that there is an after that. It's destined for you and me. There is no reincarnation, folks. The Bible doesn't teach it at all. If you have believed that or even thought you'd like to believe it, it's just not true biblically. It is destined for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. There was a couple here. I had no idea who they were until they introduced themselves, from Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh, just visiting this morning. And they said, "We lost our 39-year-old daughter." The mother said, "Did we lose our covenant relationship with our daughter when she died?" I said, "No. You didn't lose covenant with her. You maintained it. You have a covenant relationship with your family. And the two things I told her that you take with you when you die is your relationship to your Father, Heavenly Father, but you take your relationship to your family. I really believe that. You know your family here on earth. Why wouldn't you recognize them in heaven? You have a relationship with a son or daughter or parent on this earth, a brother or sister. Why wouldn't you have a relationship with them in heaven when the Bible says our knowledge will be made perfect?" And then I shared with her what Jesus said about resurrection. It says in one of the Gospels, I think it's Luke, Jesus said to the Lord, there are no dead people. I'm paraphrasing. They're all alive to him. We think in terms of dead or alive. To the Lord, they're all alive because the Spirit lives on. And I hope that offered some comfort to that woman. You have not broken covenant with your daughter. She was a believer in Christ. You have that covenant relationship, and you will see her again, and you will recognize her again. And I really believe that. Elmo didn't matter to me until just a few months ago. And now, every time I hear it, I think of my granddaughter. It matters to her, it matters to me, because I love her. And when you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, the word covenant means something to you, because Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you had a covenant with the Israelites that was brought about at Mount Sinai. And today, we are under a new covenant, an eternal covenant that's sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us never, never, never to forget that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.